there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I'm so excited to be with you live today, the Take Two family, because we have a friend in the house, and he is with us the entire hour, and you are going to love this show. So listen up. We've got exciting things happening today. Like I said, we are live. We're not taking any phone calls today, but you can always reach us on the social media chats, and also I'll give you the texting ability as well. You can email us. But I want to introduce our dear friend again. He came to Take Two, I would say a couple months ago, but everybody just loves to listen to him. He's a fabulous priest. And on this very special day of the feast day of St. John Vianney, and by the way, folks, this is the day my mother, Connie, passed 4 years ago on this day. And it's a very interesting story. Maybe I could share it with our wonderful guest in just a moment. But I want to introduce him because we want to get rolling here. That's how Take Two does it. We are the Take Two family. So let's go. I'm going to give you the texting ability, email, and on the social media chats, just drop your comments there in the chats. Father Sam Medley is a priest of the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, a Marian missionary community of priests, religious, and laity. He has spent most of his adult life serving in foreign missions, and he is with us today. Father Sam Medley, welcome back to Take Two.
Thank you so much, Debbie. It's such a delight to be here today. As I said, on a special day for me, my 18th anniversary as a religious, and also the day for priests worldwide because of St. John Vianney.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk all about it. But first, Father, you were on Take Two a couple months ago, but just share again on now you're in North Dakota now. That's your assignment. And tell us all about the reservation that you are serving.
So I'm at St. Anne's Mission Parish, and we serve the people of the Turtle Mountains. They are Ojibwa, Cree, and Metchup people. And we've been here for about 23 years, and it's a beautiful, beautiful mission where we have a lot of young volunteers come and serve for a year. And many of them find their vocation and find some direction and some healing while they're here. There's a lot of graces for healing, and the people are very, very Catholic. They come from the French fur traders and the Ojibwa people, and they just have they're very proud of their Catholic faith. So it's a real privilege for me to be here at the reservation as well. So
how long have you been there? Yeah. How long have you been there, Father?
I've only been here about 18 months.
Oh, wow.
It's just actually, it's a real reprieve for me because I'm an assistant. I used to be in charge of our world headquarters, and that was an intense job. That was they used to say, ask me, are you in charge here? And I say, for my sins, yes, because it was just a huge operation, running a retreat center and also the general regional novitiate were all there. So
wow.
I'm so grateful to be just a priest here. And serving the volunteers.
Just a priest. Okay, that's a good one. So that was at the Salt Community. Is that in Corpus Christi, or where were you stationed?
Yes, that's in Corpus Christi. That's where World Headquarters is, at a retreat center called Our Lady of Corpus Christi. And yeah, they have their World Headquarters, the regional headquarters, the novitiate, and the hospice. And I was living in the hospice while I was there.
Okay.
So it's an interesting situation.
So you went from Texas to North Dakota. All right.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
that's
awesome.
And it's
just been a amazing, amazing journey. But all over the world, 7 continents, 40 countries. Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable. And, you know, the fact that we're talking on radio, it's just fun. I was just marveling while you were praying that or before the show that here I am 18 years in a live radio. And it's whatever God wants, you know, like you just never know where you're going to be.
Oh,
and,
Father.
I'm just grateful.
Yeah, Father, you can't make this stuff up. The Lord has an amazing way of scripting life for everyone, doesn't he?
Exactly. And it's just, it's such an adventure.
Oh, that is
amazing.
And
it's so exciting, too. You know, what's happening in the church with the boom. There's actually a boom of vocations the past couple of years. And the average age of some of these little dioceses is like 45 years old for priests. And, you know, there's a couple like the diocese right next to me, Bismarck, they have the most priest vocations per capita in the entire United States.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is about the Midwest, too. There's just a lot of Indiana, Ohio, Nebraska, all these, you know, places where they have these rustic farm boys who are just coming forward and serving the Lord. So it is really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. We're in good times, and we have a lot to look forward to. So Father Sam Medley's with us, and he is a SALT priest and a wonderful priest. He's great on radio, as you can hear. And Take Two family, you love him. You're already having comments you're sending in. So let me share how you can send these wonderful comments very quickly. And Rich and Michael will pick them up. Michael's producing today. Rich is all over social media, so he's doing a great job. You can text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your brief question or comment for Father Sam Medley. And just know that message and data rates may apply. You can always email us. Michael is monitoring the email there at take2@EWTN.com. Or like I said, go on social media, any of the streams, and drop it in the chats, and we will pick it up for Father Sam. On this wonderful feast day of St. John Vianney, such an important day to talk about the priesthood and vocations. We wanted to be with the Take Two family live, so we are, and we need you to weigh in by just typing away, guys. You know how to text really fast, and you can ask Father Sam pretty much anything. He will answer it because he's so wonderful. And Father Sam, I've already got the comments coming in via Facebook, so I'll share those on the other side of the break. You're going to hear the music in just 1 minute. I just want to make sure that our Take Two family knows that we had a little kind of a change in the calendar for August. So I know I've got all the messages from everybody from Take Two that you want us to do the prayer show, and you want us to do talking about the Eucharist. Of course, we do that every single month. Absolutely. And then you also want to be able to do an unscripted. So we're going to do two unscripteds in August, okay? Just to make sure everybody on Take Two is super happy, because that's what we do. We aim to please. We love the Take Two family. You have been journeying with us for 10 years. Can you believe it, Father? It is growing. The Take Two family's growing all over the world. I know. It's amazing. Well, Father, you hear that music. When we come back, I've already got the first two questions for you, Father. It has nothing to do with the priesthood. It has to do with you personally. So hopefully Father Sam will be answering those questions and yours, and you send them in by the text, email, or the chats. We'll be right back. An exciting day here we have with this wonderful feast day of St. John Vianney, and we have a great priest with us who's a friend of Take Two's. We just absolutely love him and trust him, and we love the way he preaches and teaches. Father Sam Medley's with us. But before we get back to the conversation and the first couple questions that have come in for Father Sam, let me just share with our Take Two family, the EWTN On Demand platform features 50 new podcasts every week, as well as an ever-expanding library of audio and video content for Catholics who want to learn more about their faith simply using their mobile device, computer, or TV. Your favorite EWTN programs are available 24/7. All you have to do is visit EWTN.com and click on demand. Okay, Father, so you're going to share more about your priesthood, and this is a very special day for you because 18 years ago today, you professed those vows, right, of poverty, chastity, and obedience, correct?
Yes, that's right.
What was that day like? If I make you close your eyes, do you go right back to that day 18 years ago?
I do. And, you know, it really, it's like going back to your wedding vows. It's just a moment where I heard my own voice speak in a utmost sincerity, just a kind of honesty and an earnestness that I could even hear myself say with where my heart was very, very vulnerable, very open to God, and where I just gave my life. And my parents were right there, and I was with a great brother priest who's now like a superior in the Asia Pacific region. But it was just a beautiful day. And I try to relive that day and my vows very, very well every day, and recommit them. And in sickness and in health, in good times and bad.
right. So, similar to marriage, right, Father?
It is. It is so similar, the ups and downs, and just the all of the crazy adventures that I've been through, and all the places and the people I've met. it's just a wonderful, wonderful gift from God.
Mm-hmm. And so I got to meet your mom virtually through the video. And what an amazing mother you have, Father. Tell us a little bit about her, because to be able to bring into the world a future priest, and you are a wonderful priest, she's got to be a pretty wonderful mother.
She is pretty amazing, and her life has been marked by sacrifice for me. On the day that I was born, she became allergic to lactose. And the day that I was ordained, she became allergic to gluten. And she's a very beautiful, sacrificial, just loving woman, and I'm so grateful for her. It was through a lot of her prayers and sacrifices, her fasting on bread and water 2 times a week, and going to daily mass and praying the daily rosary for me, that I had a conversion. I left the church for about 5 years, and I came back with gusto, went right into the seminary, and just was, it's been an amazing, she's been through all of those stages of life, as a mother does, through all the ups and downs with me.
That's incredible. So she must have celebrated her the feast day last week of Saints Anne and Joachim, right? So that was
her 77th birthday, actually.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday, Father Sam's mom. That is so amazing. I hope she's listening. She always listens to your radio broadcasts.
I just let her know that I was coming on an hour ago. So most of the time she tunes in if she's able.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, she looks great. You said 77. Wow, she looks fabulous. So yeah, you're very blessed to have a mother that's so willing to sacrifice and be so supportive. And that's another thing we can talk about too, of really supporting the vocations, right? And that is such an interesting aspect of the discernment process when a young man decides that, you know, maybe I should look into this. It's interesting, Father. You may or may not know this. I have a graduate degree in theology, and my master's thesis was on adolescent spirituality. And I did case studies I did case studies on when, by the way, Father, I got an A on it. I did case studies on when a young man first thinks of a vocation to the priesthood.
Wow, what were the results? I'm curious.
Thank you for asking. No one ever asks me anymore. It's been so long. So thank you. Actually, it turned out that, and I did hundreds and hundreds of different studies. It was a really an amazing project, and I loved it. I learned so much about it. You may know this already because you're super smart. The adolescent age, middle school.
No kidding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few that say that, like, while they're serving, they first start serving in the altar. Mm-hmm. And it's usually at that time that it crosses their mind. For me, I was quite a rebellious child. I was a punk rocker, and I was the last person ever anybody in high school or college would have ever thought would become a priest. It was quite not the typical kind of vocation. Mm-hmm. I was very far away from the church, and I was very, like I said, very rebellious. And it was through the patience of my mother and father and my family that they lovingly accompanied me through those crazy years. And and I'm here because of them. Really?
Wow, that is so beautiful. That's kind of, it kind of reminds me of the story of how Father Donald Calloway, right? How similar that this kind of free spirit, you know, living the world and doing things, and then coming into the priesthood. That's very interesting. But going back to the junior high age, when young boys first consider or even think about or even look towards the priesthood, isn't it fascinating, Father, that that's the age group, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth grade, that's the age group that most parents are like hoping and praying that time period goes really fast, because the kids are changing and they're just sometimes hard to deal with. And so it's the age that is always overlooked and forgotten. And then that's the age where the first seeds are planted. Isn't that fascinating?
You know, we found the same out. So I did a lot of teaching. I was teaching high school and middle school. And one of the things we found out is that it's actually in middle school that is the most sensitive time for development of someone's personality. And they're also, we found that the most important age for teaching chastity was actually in middle school.
That's right.
And high school is way too late. Mm-hmm. And actually the high school students told us this. we started teaching theology of the body in high school, and they said, hey, you guys are a couple of years late. You really need to start this sooner. And as a result of that, in that particular, in Corpus Christi, they started actually teaching a form of theology of the body that's more based on human dignity earlier because of that. And, you know, it's because those young people, out of their own desire, because there's such an idealistic time of their life, right, where they're yearning, their ideals are so bright and so strong. It's just a perfect time for formation for that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I completely understand why that's the case.
Yeah. And the world tends to overlook and try to make that time period for these young kids go super fast. It's like, oh, can't you just hurry up and be an adult already? We're so tired of the hormones changing and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why if you're listening right now and you have a junior high kid in your home, be really sensitive to that, because they're in a perfect position to learn and to absorb and to process and to discern. I've said that, and I spent over 13 years as a junior high youth minister father because of that reason. I found that so many parents just were frustrated with that age group, and I just loved them. They were old enough where you could talk to them, you know, almost, you know, really you could have these kind of adult conversations, but they were still young, where they were willing to learn and to trust and to really take in a lot of concepts and process them. And so I found them to be a fascinating age group. It was interesting. And yet catechists will pick the younger kids to teach or the high schoolers, but they tend to go, nah, I won't do the sixth, seventh, eighth grade. You know, they didn't want to do that. So next time, think about that. I would encourage everyone to maybe look into the junior high age. Okay, so Father, the messages are coming in. Again, our listeners, we are live today with Father Sam Medley talking all about his vocation to the priesthood in general on this great St. John Vianney feast day, or you can say Vianney, depending on if you have the French accent to it. And I know, Father, you speak French, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, because you and I are going to be on a river cruise together next year. I am so excited. Yes. And
me,
we're getting
too.
We're getting signups and everything. Father, I'm telling you, I'm going to be a mess the day we go to where St. Joan of Arc was burned. And you know, and Normandy. I'm so excited about going to Normandy. Okay, folks, we'll hold that till the end of the show. But let me share with you how you can text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your brief question or comment for Father Sam Medley. And just know that message and data rates may apply. You can also go on any of the social media streams and post it in the chats there, and Rich will pick it up there and send it to us. He's doing a fine job. Michael's monitoring everything. Or you can always email us if you have something longer you want to share with Father Sam. That's a take2@EWTN.com. Okay, Father, you ready for the first question?
Go ahead.
Okay. Father, it's very obvious if you Google search you, and a lot of people have since the last time you've been on Take Two, that you had like an extreme makeover. Would you like to tell our wonderful Take Two family how you shed over 100 pounds?
Yes, I lost 125 pounds and I've kept it off for about 4 months now. And it was mostly through the same practice I did when, as a young man, when I was trying to heal from, you know, growing up, I used fasting as a means of spiritual healing. But this time around, it was more of a physical healing, because I didn't know this. I was assumed at the time when I was younger that there were physical benefits. I just knew the spiritual ones, that it was, my heart was a lot lighter. My prayers rose up to the throne of God a lot easier. I felt a certain kind of closeness when I was fasting with him. But now I found that if you fast more than 24 hours, which I do, 36-hour fast, three times a week, and I still allow myself to eat about 500 to 600 calories, and I'm actually fasting today, what I found is that autophagy and the expulsion of dead cells from your insides, like even like your arteries and dead brain cells, and these things are expelled from this And it causes a whole bunch of health benefit, like a decrease in heart disease, neural disorders. There's so many crazy health benefits that come from fasting. Well, that's how I lost most of the weight. It was about 15 pounds a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So, Father, let me ask you a question, because when you said 36 hours, are you telling me you only take in water for 36 hours one time during the week? Or how do you do that? That is fascinating.
Okay. So what I do is very first in the morning, I take a cup of black coffee. Coffee has a ghrelin suppressant. It's a hunger suppressant, not just from the caffeine, but there's actually something like quercetins that are in the coffee that actually suppress ghrelin, which is a hunger. That's that kind of angry thing, you know, when you get really tired, hungry, and angry. It's like the little rage monster that eats something, you know, that little thing that you feel. But then I go about, and the other thing too, at the beginning, I overload on, I shouldn't say overload, I eat a bunch of electrolytes, ingest them through either some of these drinks that don't have, that have healthy sugar alternative sweeteners, you like erythritol or what's the other one that's very common, stevia. Mm-hmm. Those do not cause an insulin response, and that's the main reason. But I still eat 500 to 600 calories of low insulin food like yogurt, cottage cheese, or hard-boiled eggs, or an avocado, that don't cause a major insulin spike. Because insulin, when your body is burning fat, it's not burning sugar, and it's not burning carbs, it's burning fat. And that's it hyperactivates the fat burning process. So I know this sounds like all of a sudden talking about a health podcast, but it is, there's a whole bunch of information that's out there. And a lot of people, there's a whole fasting culture now. There's Catholic fasting communities on these apps.
Well, I'm giggling because we got a couple questions that came in about this. They wanted to know how you did it, how long it took you. They wanted to know, you know, just kind of the different aspects of it, because, I mean, you look fabulous. I mean, you look very healthy. You've got a lot of energy. But I have a question, though, for you, Father. You know, having black coffee in the morning and not really eating a lot of food, you don't feel the shakes at all? You don't feel shaky?
I don't.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I think the main thing there is during the days where I do eat, I eat very well.
You eat clean,
like,
food.
I mean, clean eating. I don't know if you do Google me, you see like a whole bunch of recipes. Very clean food. Yes, I eat clean food, but I also eat a lot of it. So I'll have, I still have my calorie. I still take a calorie measurement, and I still have a calorie deficiency even on the days when I'm not fasting. But I, like, as I said, the food I eat is very, very delicious. It's very hearty. I eat a lot of protein. Mm-hmm. I don't experience this kind of deprived thing, you know? Okay. And I think that's one that's really important, where I don't feel psychologically, emotionally, or physiologically like I am depriving myself.
Wow.
I don't get fangry. And if I do get fangry, I eat something. I mean, I know, because I'll sit there and all of a sudden I'm like turning into a Senor Grumpy Pants, you know, like I just like get kind of irritable. I'm like, okay, you need a dollop of yogurt, young man. You know,
right.
That's the way I respond to myself.
Okay. So no real sugar. You don't have like cake and cookies and donuts and all that kind of stuff anymore.
Well, you know, it's funny. My mom and dad raised me without a lot of sugar, so I don't really miss it.
You don't miss it. Okay, you hear that music? We're getting a lot of messages. Everybody wants to know the regimen that Father Sam used to shed 125 pounds. That's amazing! Wow, this is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we're talking with our dear friend Father Sam Medley. Stay with us the entire hour. We'll be right back. This is turning out to be a fabulous show with Father Sam Medley. And I think by the response that we're getting from the Take Two family, you love it because you are loving all these health tips to get really strong. You know, it's interesting, Father, we're in the middle of the year, and a lot of people, you know, they made their New Year's resolutions at the beginning. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. And then, you know, summer comes and there's all these desserts and fun foods and ice cream and all sorts of things. And, you you know, people tend to forget. And then they start to think about, well, the holidays are coming up. I don't want to add another 5 or 10 pounds for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. So any other final tips? We're all taking notes. I think this is fabulous. And maybe actually if the family, Take Two family, want to hear more of Father Sam Medley, he's actually on The Quest. It's produced by the Guadalupe Radio Network, and it's at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Eastern. And actually, you're going to be on today. You're on Mondays and Wednesdays on The Quest. Mm-hmm. And folks can find it at the Guadalupe Radio Network. That's grnonline.com. And maybe you could do a whole show on this, Father, so that I can just sit back, because I'm not able to take full notes today as I'm co-hosting this show with you today. So I want to make sure I get all the tips. But any final things, like kind of think behind the scenes things that we can learn very quickly to get us jump started?
Sure. There's a couple things. One of the best exercises for burning fat is a surprise. It's walking, because your body doesn't see it as exercise. It doesn't release hunger mechanism like it does with intensive cardio. And your body doesn't even know that it's burning fat, but you do burn fat. The other thing that happens when you walk is it's good for it releases dopamine, and mental health experts would recommend that as one of the things to improve your mental health. And it's a great time to pray. Another thing that I found is that I seek alternative ways of feasting when I am feasting. Like yesterday, I had a cauliflower crust pizza. It's a low-carb crust pizza. And instead of ice cream, I did have frozen yogurt. That's very, you know, it's protein. Mm-hmm. And that's another pillar. Eating protein, enough protein, drinking enough water, mm-hmm. and also staying hydrated. I think a lot of times people get hungry, and they're not really hungry. They're actually dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Because potassium and magnesium and sodium together have a way of protein and muscle synthesis. Mm-hmm. And that's one final thing is exercise, especially weight training. And if you want to have about 2 times a week, high intensity interval training known as HIIT, where you just have an elliptical and one of those walker thing, the little stepper. Walking in place thing. Yeah. The little, rat thing, the stepper, or no, not the stepper, the treadmill.
Treadmill. Okay,
and
the treadmill.
Having a treadmill and going, mm-hmm. just keeping your heart rate elevated, high, mm-hmm. like 75%, and then going back to regular. And just doing that for about 20 minutes, where you have very intense bursts of heart rate, and then you slow it, you back it down with walking. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. actually it's the highest fat burning exercise you can possibly do. And it intensifies your metabolism, kickstarts your metabolism for actually mm-hmm. like 20 to 30 hours. It's a great thing.
Yeah. Okay. So final question to wrap this up, because everybody's now super excited. Everybody stay tuned in though. Don't be going to all these other sites to get all your information on how to get physically fit right away. Just wait till we're done with this broadcast. But Father Sam, how long did it take you to lose the 125?
Well, the healthy way it was, some months it was 15 pounds, but it's ideal is no more than 11 pounds a month. If you lose more than that, it's not actually very healthy. But 11 pounds was my average over the course of, it was 13 months that I lost 125 pounds.
Okay. I didn't quite tell the full truth here, because another question just got in real quickly. They wanted to know what made you, you know, this whole idea of I'll start my diet on Monday or I'll start my diet on Tuesday. What made you say, okay, this is the day I'm starting it and I'm not stopping until I lose this weight?
Well, it's with any kind of behavior that you want to repeat it. Your motivation for doing it must outweigh your motivation for not doing it. That's it. And if you have your why, like why are you doing this, has to be bigger. For me, I was under so much stress. I just running our, you know, the world headquarters of my religious community and doing trauma retreats and it really, and being one of the priests that was allowed to go into the hospitals during COVID, there's so many stressors for me that once they were taken away, I was free in some sense especially with a lot less responsibility, I was free to be able to respond to that. Mm-hmm. And I some of the priests in my community said they think I put 30 years on my life from that move.
Wow.
So it was a really, really good move for me.
You know, we're very big here on Take Two, especially, you know, Jerry Usher, who's my co-host, he had Vocation Boom for 10 years. And it was, print and radio and TV Vocation Boom, but supporting the vocation to the priesthood. And one of the things that he always stressed, and we continue to stress it on Stand Tall, which is our life coaching ministry, is this mind, body, spirit balance. And our priests need that. They need their exercise. They need their day off. They need their time to relax. They need to take care of themselves. They can't just keep giving and be under all that stress, because it's going to break them down and it's going to cause a premature death or a major illness that's going to remove them from their ministry work. So anything you want to say to that, to your brother priests that are maybe listening right now, and believe me, Father Sam, we have a lot of priests and bishops that listen to Take Two. We know, because Jerry and I get the emails. So anything you want to say to the clergy and your brother priests about this idea of really taking on, care of self?
I would say, if Jesus's his own example, where he left the poor unfed and the sick unhealed and the ignorant untaught and went alone to be with his Father, that itself is the most important thing. Is you have to just turn off your phone, or I just, when my staff would text me, I would text them back John 7:35, which is, "You shall look for me, but you shall not find me. Where I am going, you cannot follow." And where you do have to shut off. And there has to be a time where you don't return phone calls, where you are not available in the example of Jesus Christ himself. And he can guide a priest to be able to know what that looks like emotionally, physically, and spiritually, to have some time where you're just taking care of the parish of your own soul, as St. Charles Borromeo says, mm-hmm. to be able to take care of yourself as a means of taking care of your people. Because if any corporation or any organization, if they take care of the leadership, that is one of the resources that they are taking care of the parish, or, that's how it translates. And that's why some people feel guilty actually taking care of themselves. And it's, well, that's you taking care of your people in that indirect way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I worked at the parish level for 25 years, Father, and I can't even begin to tell you how many times my pastor, the other priests that were on campus, they would ask us, please, just can you walk with us from the office to the rectory, so that just we can get back to the rectory without being stopped a million times. And they needed to clear their mind. They needed to just be able to keep going on with their day. And I know that the parishioners, they needed the priests. I get it. But it's like, wow, they were on call. And it's so interesting, Father. I stepped up. I don't know what I was even thinking when I was in I was a director of religious education, and my pastor came to the staff and says, we need somebody to be the assistant to this one priest who was very, very popular in our diocese, in the Diocese of Phoenix. And so I don't know what I was thinking, Father. I stepped up and I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll take his phone. I'll do the whole thing. I'll be his assistant, because I was there on campus anyway. Well, I did it for a couple months. I went to the pastor. I said, I can't do this anymore. I mean, it was round the clock, Father. I've never seen anything like it. No wonder that, the priests don't get any downtime. And I feel so bad that. And then even when you take a priest out to dinner, I've seen, folks, they're so well-intentioned, but they take a priest out to dinner and it's like the priests are having to give a dissertation with all these, theological concepts and everything, just on, they're on all the time. Anything else you want to share about that? Because I've always, that was the one thing I've always felt so bad about for the priests, that I felt like they didn't have enough time to just maybe just completely relax and not have to be on call all the time.
Well, so when I've given a lot of retreats to priests and in dioceses or in congregations, and one of the things that like the very first night, I'll say, I don't want to see you. I want you to go sleep. And because it's like, I remember the first time I tried, I was talking to these priests and they look like they're all going to fall asleep and they didn't get enough rest. So rest is so important. But I would say the two pillars of human formation that we're taught in seminary are affective maturity, emotional maturity, and appropriate vulnerability. Now, availability or vulnerability in a certain sense is a measure of priestly zeal, how available you allow yourself to be. But I would say mark that by the appropriate measure of the energy that you have. And like, you wouldn't do this to someone else. Don't do it to yourself. Be aware of your own limits and be able to say, no, I am not available. Even if that means I can't meet with you for a couple weeks, because sometimes that's the realistic thing. And also say that I can help you one time, but I can't be in a consistent spiritual direction rapport with you. I can't be the one to accompany you. Mm-hmm. I can't be your savior. Having a savior complex is, especially for younger priests who, the problem with masculine concupiscence, and this is also for priests who are men, is that sometimes you equate fruitfulness with your self-worth. And it has to do with the concupiscence of Adam when he fell, that the curse that he had is, by the sweat of your brow shall you toil and labor and till the earth and it would beget thorns. You know, that whole passage in Genesis 3, that we sometimes equate our worth, our self-worth as men with what can we do? How fruitful are we? And that is actually not good. It's actually part of a heresy of Americanism. That's actually the name that was indexed in from Pope Leo, Pius IX.
Right.
He called it Americanism because Americans have a tendency, being pragmatists and utilitarians,
right,
we have a tendency in a meritocracy kind of society to think that fruitfulness is your value as a person. And we have to remember the primacy of grace over action.
Wow.
That's the main thing.
Boy, you must be a wonderful retreat master. The priest must have loved what you said. Were they a little taken aback when you said, you know, I don't want to even talk to you this first day?
No, they were so appreciative.
They were so
appreciative. You know, the funny thing is, I found out with giving retreats, because I would give retreats to missionaries of charity and other institutes around the world, and one of the things that I found was even more fruitful than giving talks or whatever was just disinterested, dispassionate, unassociated listening. I would just sit and listen for about 50 hours during the week to everything they had to unburden themselves with. And I found that was really, really helpful. And this is another thing for the mental health of a priest. You need a listening friend. If you have a listening friend, it doesn't have to, it could be a therapist, I guess, if they're good, or a spiritual director if they're good. I honestly have not found a spiritual director myself that is available, willing, and capable. And so I honestly don't have a spiritual director, because every time I have tried, I found at the end of the session, they go, thank you so much. Please pray for me.
Right.
When can we see each other again? I'm like, wait a minute here. Hold on. You know, like, did you do the switcheroo on me? So I honestly haven't been able to find somebody. And my spiritual director, who is I think he's a living saint, he's the founder of my community, Father James Flanagan, he said that to me kind of prophetically. He said, there'll come a time in your life when the one spiritual director you have is Our Lady. But I do have many listening friends, even though I don't have somebody. I do have somebody who can hear my story, who can see me, who can I can just be myself with and say what's really, really on my heart.
Yeah. They
just tend to be people who are also associated with trauma, like a police officer and an ER doctor.
right. But Father, you always have your mom. You could always run to your mom.
Yes.
She'll listen to you.
And I have a wonderful mom. I can tell her everything. So yes, that is a great resource for me.
There you go.
I still have in my life.
Absolutely. Well, 18 years ago today, you took those perpetual vows of poverty, chastity, obedience. We're going to talk more about that in the final few minutes, but I just wanted to share with our listeners, Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders is this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Dr. David Anders, he has the answers, and yes, he does. Dr. David Anders is also one of the coaches on our Stand Tall platform. So if you ever, and he specializes in addictive behaviors, addictions, things of that nature. So if you want any coaching, Dr. David Anders is the one you want to get a free consultation from. I think I love talking to Dr. Anders. So you can just go to standtalltoday.com. We also have a lot of another website address to give everybody. And actually, you can find everything at grnonline.com related to Father Sam Medley. You can see his show, The Quest. He's on again today talking about the priesthood, because remember, this is the feast of St. John Vianney. That's why we definitely wanted to be live with our audience today, because this is such an important feast day, and talking about vocations, the priesthood, and what it also means for us in the married or single life. So it's very, very important. Also at grnonline.com, you can go to events, and we are going on a Seine River cruise in April 2026. And yes, I don't want anyone to be jealous. So you can just join us because I get to spend, I think it's 8 days, Father Sam, with you leading this wonderful river cruise pilgrimage all through France.
Yes, and I'm looking so forward to it. I used to live in London and would cross the channel frequently, been to Rouen, Lisieux, Paris, Chartres, all those places, like at least 4 or 5 times. So I have my own little haunts that I like to go, and the own little path that I would like to go in Paris, and these places that are just amazing. And it's going to be awesome. I'm going to be offering daily mass and be available for a confession. So it's going to be somewhat of a pilgrimage, I think.
Yeah. So join us, please. We're going on. I've never been on a river cruise. I have been on, you know, the cruises that go to the Bahamas and Mexico, and they're wonderful. I love those. But a river cruise, I understand, is just so smooth that you don't get any motion sickness. It's wonderful. And this and the Seine River cruise, it's just going to be fabulous. So guys, join us. It's filling up. And I know people are planning already for the spring of 2026. So you can join us. And that would be at Select International Tours, but you can just go find all the information at grnonline.com/events. But Father, you do speak French. Can you speak a little bit for us so we can get a feel for it?
Oh, je comprends pas bien français. Oui, mon cher. We are, I'm still learning French.
That's very
I speak
good,
a whole
though.
Bunch of other languages, but I am learning from an app. But I did... When I was 16, it was the first time I ever went to Paris, and I learned a whole bunch of phrases that I've been using my whole life for, mm-hmm. You know, whenever I you run into somebody from France.
Yeah. But, well, you do quite well. This is going to be extraordinary. I can't wait for it. It's going to come very quickly because time is moving fast. So Father, 18 years ago, you took these vows, poverty, chastity, obedience. Now I know, because I've worked in the church for many, many years, what this means, but does this mean, I want for our listeners, and we have brand new listeners each and every day, plus we have a lot of non-Catholics that listen to Take Two. So what does it mean that you don't have any money in your pocket, in poverty? You have nothing?
Well, I know. There's a friar from the Franciscan Friars of Renewal. He said, no money, no honey, and a boss. And I was like, I think that's really, that's a very, very simplification of it. But yes, I've taken about poverty, where the main thing about poverty is that you want to be free of having possessions in your mind, in your soul. Like, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, to have all things as though you didn't have them. And he was talking about a spouse, you know, like a relationship, to have everything as if you didn't have it. And that's a detachment and a freedom that makes me free to be able to serve God's people. And it also makes me free to be focusing on my union with God. And that's why the state of life that is the status perfectionis of religious life is, it makes a person totally available to God, and therefore to God's people, whoever he directs him to. And that's the main thing about chastity as well. All these people look at it like in the negative sense. I thank God, and I mean nothing against the sacrament of matrimony. I love the sacrament of matrimony. I thank God that I'm not married like 5 times a week. I love the sacrament of matrimony, but I am free. I can focus completely and totally on the mission that God has given me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that if I owed a part of my interiority to someone else.
Yeah.
In to woman exclusively. I wouldn't be able to be free, not just for God, but for God's people as well.
Right.
So,
right.
And then obedience is probably the most difficult out of all three of those. It's really handing over your will, and not just obedience to a legitimate superior, but it's ultimately obedient to God in every situation that you find yourself in, and sacrificing your own will.
Right, right. So, Father, these are perpetual vows. I mean, they're ongoing. It's not something that you can just say, I'm not going to do this anymore, correct?
Yeah, you don't hang those on that. You don't take a vacation from your vocation.
Right.
It's something that is permanent. And it's not only permanent, it's something that's, it's a relationship. It's an intimacy with God. So you wouldn't say, I'm going to quit being married for a weekend. That's absurd. I don't know if I like the word taking time off as much as just having like a desert day or a day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Because those days I find are even more priestly or even more religious than when I am occupied with many things, because those are the times when I can really just be alone and rest with God. So poverty, chastity, obedience is really, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, the ideal situation for priesthood. It really is an ideal way of being disposed to the grace of holy orders. It's such a wonderful freedom that I'm allowed.
Wow, that's amazing. Father Sam, I could talk to you all day long. It is so such a pleasure and such a delight. And so you are so nice to talk to. And plus, I love the way you communicate the faith. And that's why I tune into The Quest. And you're going to be on today. And that's through Guadalupe Radio Network at 4 p.m. Central Time. But I have to tell you, God bless you for the gifts that you bring to all of us and you share so freely. It's so wonderful. So I just thank you so much. I didn't think that this show was going to turn into a health and wellness show, but you know, it's a Take Two show. So we kind of roll with whatever the family wants. So because it's a wonderful group that we all hang out together 5 days a week, and it keeps growing all around the world. So Take Two family, I would definitely try to catch more of Father Sam Medley. But Father, thank you so much for joining us. I cannot wait till the River Cruise in April. I think it's going to just be a blast. My husband's going to be going, and he is so excited to get to meet you. I tell him all about you. And I said, this is a very good priest. He's a wonderful priest, a Marian priest. I'm very big on priests who really absolutely love the Blessed Mother. And since this is the month for the Immaculate Heart of Mary, anything you want to quickly say about your love for the Blessed Mother?
The Blessed Mother is always standing next to priests, and I feel her constantly on my side, most especially at the mystical Calvary that we call the Holy Mass, that Our Lady stands next to priests, and she is their mother bear. She protects them like cubs, and she is also such a wonderful consolation in suffering and carrying the heavy weight of priesthood. Mm-hmm. She is, as Mary Poppins says, the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down.
Wow.
She is just a sweet accompaniment for
yes. Priests. Amen to that. Father, could you give us a quick prayer and blessing for the Take Two family today on this wonderful
sure.
feast day of St. John Vianney?
Through the intercession of St. John Vianney and our Blessed Mother Mary, may Almighty God rejoice you, fortify you with his grace, and grant you every consolation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Sam. You are amazing. Keep on keeping on, Father. You're doing great, and we all admire you, respect you, and love you. I hope you visit Take Two again. Tomorrow, we have Father Cedric Pazania. He's going to be on with us live answering your emails and texts all about suffering. And he's another fan favorite, and that is wonderful. So Father Cedric will be with us tomorrow. Father Sam is going to go back to his duties in North Dakota right now, so we'll catch him maybe later on the quest, and that'll do it. I want to thank the show team. What a wonderful show team we have today, and that is Michael, our producer, Rich on social media. Thank you so much, you guys, for sending in all the messages. I know it put a big smile on Father Sam's face. Okay, so that'll do it. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.